everyone. Welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist. This week, I am chatting with a champ. I'm chatting with Jessica Roper, although some of you might recognize that she looks very familiar to Jessica Fleischer. Jessica, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Lawrence. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, we were just talking about this before hitting the record button, but today you're presenting as Jessica Roper. Did you want to explain to our listeners, our viewers, what's happening there? Because some of them I know will know who you are.
Yes, and relating to the hypnotherapy, anybody who's connected with me over the last couple of years, my name is Jessica Fleischer. That's what my name is on my birth certificate. And I decided to change it over on my social media and call myself my name because I thought it was more professional. I thought this is who I want to be now at the beginning of 2020. But I grew up as Jess Roper. I grew up, and quite a few people will now know my mum, Becky Roper. She kickboxes with me online if you're part of Fighting Fit Together. And she's part of the JHA now too. She is going through her diploma.
It's going to be a mother-daughter combination.
It is. Look at
that's
the Jacquins.
That's a powerful force, isn't it?
Look what the Jacquins have created. Stepping out of your comfort zone, it's what I do, becoming confident. I'm here today and I've been working on this yesterday. This is how unprepared I am, but with personal branding and business strategy. And I feel that I identify best under my mum's name, Jess Roper. And so that's why when do I make that switch? I've got podcasts where I'm Jessica Fleischer. I've got articles. And I was like, nope. No time like the present. Let's do it now. So thank you for that opportunity.
May as well. And, you know, just one of the things I have to say about you is, you know, I came across you initially in the Jacquin Academy, the Jacquin Hypnosis Academy, and you were such a prominent and engaging figure within that. And, you know, I was kind of surprised to find out that your journey with hypnotherapy has kind of only been over the past 18 months in a lockdown and largely due to the Jacquin's Academy.
Yep, that is correct. Yeah. I began in lockdown because of my friend, because Justin Sewell, he recommended it. And I didn't know anything about the Jacquins. And I didn't know anything about hypnosis other than my initial response was the usual, well, I don't want to be turned into a chicken and I don't need to stop smoking. So why do I want to do this? But I was working as a kickboxing coach and I was studying nutrition and I was most interested in the mindset side of everything. So why do fighters fight? How do we overcome those nerves and that anxiety? And with regards to eating, most people know at least roughly what they should be eating. So why can't they get their diet? Why are there so many eating disorders? Why are there so many behavioral problems? And the course I was doing actually recommended CBT. So that's what I was thinking about doing. But I'd also seen somebody, an NLP practitioner, before one of my title fights. So that's also what I was thinking about doing. And then I got thrown into the world of hypnosis because of lockdown, because the Jacquins took their training online and created an incredible platform, an incredible community, I might add. And I thought, why not give it a go? I'm not going to lie. I wasn't confident that it was going to be the thing for me. I thought, what have I got to lose? Either I get nothing out of it and then I can move on and say, I gave hypnotherapy a go and it didn't work. But I didn't expect it would completely transform my life like it has. It's been incredible. It's helped me heal from trauma and helped me change completely. And then that has allowed me to go out and help other people, help clients. And I absolutely love it.
Do you remember that first moment or the first instance where you kind of had that thought of this stuff actually works?
Yes, I think so. Let me think. What was the first moment? Well, Freddie stuck me to a chair very quickly, very early. I don't know why.
He likes to do that, doesn't he?
I don't know why he picked on me. But in terms of hypnosis, Freddie stuck me to a chair and I was like, actually, I'm stuck. But And then in terms of the therapist, so I was working through the diploma and I could see it working all around me. And there were so many people saying about how well it worked. And then it got to the habit change hypnosis. And I didn't really know what I was going to do, because I know that stop smoking is one of the most popular things for people going to see a hypnotherapist, but I don't smoke. So I decided to give up coffee. And I'd been thinking about it, I guess, like most smokers, for quite a while. It's not damaging as such, but I was drinking quite a few cups a day, and I needed that cup of coffee when I got up. And I thought, well, why not do it now? Why not test hypnotherapy and habit change hypnotherapy specifically? And guess what? I haven't habitually drunk a cup of coffee since. And that's about over a year ago now. They also got rid of my fear of the dark. So I used to sort of, as I walked away from my house and the pub where it's lit up down the fields and it got darker, I could feel my heart rate rising and I could feel that tension. And then I'd have to like run home in panic almost. And then I went out on my own after that hypnotherapy and I was like, it's all in my imagination. It's nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I did it. I walked calmly through the woods in the dark on my own. So I've had a couple of experiences where you can like immediate results. But the biggest impact for me has been over the whole 18 months, the kind of overcoming the underlying traumas, the anxieties, just changing identities. I think that's an important one. So like the name change today, but it's realizing who I am and believing that I can achieve.
I imagine being a kickboxer and being martial arts as well, you know, second degree black belt there. For me, if I was that, then I would have all the confidence in the world. Like, I know, that's what surprised me, because even reading through some of your things, you had that limiting belief about I'm not fit enough.
Absolutely. Crippling.
How does that happen when someone's, you know, in your position of being a kickboxer and getting in there in the ring and winning titles? How does that happen?
So I'm not an expert on trauma responses by any means, but from what I have learned and from conversations that I've had with incredibly knowledgeable people, those that grow up in trauma. So I grew up with both of my parents addicted to heroin and becoming alcoholics and stuff. So my childhood was a bit tough. And you become kind of like a chaos controller is the term that someone used the other day. And I like that. So you become used to functioning in this high state of having to fight all the time. Fighting is a fantastic metaphor. So although I had really, really low self-esteem, cripplingly low almost, especially in my teenage years, when I stopped going to school, I dropped out of everything and I just couldn't face the world. But then by the time I was 19, I was with my boyfriend and he was there to support me. I was working in the pub and things were going okay. I was living an okay life, I guess. But I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't confident by any means. And he encouraged me to give kickboxing a go, even though it terrified me. He held my hand on the way to the gym. And when I began, that's the hardest part, getting started. I began to set those goals. My first goal was to be able to do one press up. Never did I imagine that I was going to become a champion or a black belt. I almost idolized those who did and thought, how do they do that? That's incredible. But I focused on me. I just focused on my goal today, tomorrow, next, short-term goals, specific things, improving for myself. And with that dedication, high levels of self-motivation, whatever you want to call it, I never gave up. I just kept going. So then eventually my coach said to me, well, do you want to fight? And I was like, oh, I don't know. No, not really. Do you think I should fight? And he was like, yeah, I think you should. Give it a go. And I did. And it was horrible. And I lost. But then I carried on going because I didn't give up. So then after enough losses, I started winning. And then the turning point was actually becoming a champion. That made me think, wow, I've done it. I've become a champion. I can be confident now. I've got this identity.
Well, so it's almost like this criteria of I've won something, now I can be confident.
at that point in my mind, because I still, bearing in mind, when I became a champion, it was before hypnosis. I think people who meet me now think the two do go together. I'm a kickboxing champion and a hypnotherapist, public speaker, kind of if you go by the three things that I do. But I was a kickboxing champion before I knew anything about how my mind worked. I then saw an NLP practitioner after my first win. And I, reflecting back on it, I think I won now because I took away the pressure. I took the fight on short notice. I only had 3 weeks. And I remember it. I was sat there and I'd just eaten a big plate of macaroni cheese and we had cake for pudding. And I got the message from my coach about this opportunity in 3 weeks' time to fight for the English title. Her opponent had dropped out. She needed a female our size and would I be able to make weight? So I stepped on those scales and I'd have a couple of kilos to lose, but I was full of pasta and I know that I can lose the weight. I've done it before. I can do it again. And so my question was, do you think I can do it? I put my faith in my coach because that is important to have someone that you can trust. Mm-hmm. And he said, anyone else, Jess? And I'm not sure, but I know how hard you dedicate, regardless of whether you're matched to fight. I do believe you can do this. So I said, go on then, let's do it. Let's go up north and let's fight for the title. And I turned down my cake. I turned down my pudding and I love cake. So that's the commitment that I decided
well,
I
could
to
do it. Yeah.
I turned down my pudding and I decided to train as hard as I possibly could, but it was only for a short amount of time. And I managed to somehow let go of the result and find fun. So I walked out to the Lion King. I just can't wait to be king. And even now, like it's one of those, if you anchor, I've anchored it to performing and to having fun. And it just changes my emotional state. So I managed to do that before I knew what I was doing. Because when I walked out, the crowd roared and it just felt different. Normally I would walk out like tense and I'm going to fight and I'm really nervous. But this one, I was like, this is fun. I'm going to become a champion and I'm here and this is my opportunity. And guess what? Instead of going back to my corner, I'm not fit enough. I'm losing. I'm not fit enough. I was just like, this is it. I'm becoming a champion. So I've experienced it myself, how changing our state and changing the way, the kind of thoughts inside our head, what we think, what we feel, and then how we act.
How much of that attitude did you take into learning hypnosis? Because I know for many people when they first start to learn hypnosis, there's a lot of, not fear, but, you know, am I doing this right? What if they don't respond the way we want? That sort of thing. So how much of that fantastic attitude of playfulness and just being in the moment and having fun have you brought into hypnosis and the work you do there?
I think it's been the key to my success, if that's what you want to call it. Same with speaking. So the first podcast I went on in was Laurie Hammond's, and I was Laurie. So nervous before that because I'd listened to her podcast and she'd had Freddie on it. She'd had all of these. Have you been on it?
I haven't yet. Laurie's been on mine, but I haven't been on hers.
Yes. Yes. There we go. But she'd had all of these incredible hypnotists on it. And I was like, who am I to be doing this? And I was like, wait, what do we get taught? Who am I not to be doing this? So I contacted her and she said yes. And then I was like, breathe. What do you do before you fight? Relax your shoulders. And I put my Lion King song on and it got me in that state. And it's fun and I love it. And it's the same with hypnosis. I create that pressure of what if it all goes wrong? What if I've got a client in front of me and they've all got a very real problem and they're here for me to help them? They do the work, and what if it doesn't work? And then it's like, well, what if it does work? And it always does. It's always that bit before, but changing my state and then going in there. And then as soon as we get going, just like in the fight, as soon as you're in that ring and you've done all the training, it's absolutely fine. It's hard work, but it's absolutely fine. It always goes well. I always know what to do. I don't script my sessions. I don't plan out exactly what I'm going to do. And sometimes I have a rough plan and that just gets thrown in the bin because they say something and all of a sudden, oh no, that will be better. Let's do that. But it's having that, doing the work, do the training, do go get qualified and do have the tools that you are confident to use. But then trusting yourself and your ability to be able to be confident. And that's where that to be confident, it is a state that we can anchor. So anchoring the confidence of a champion is kind of It might sound a bit cliche, but I've done it for myself and I can help other people do it too.
Mm. And it's, you know, coming back to the Jacquelines again, one of the wonderful things about their academy is that they don't teach with scripts. They teach kind of a process or an approach, and they fully encourage everyone to be creative with that and to explore it, kind of know the outline, but to have some fun with that. Have you found that there's been any particular techniques or approaches that have really resonated with you and that you find yourself frequently turning to do your work?
Yes, from the Jacquelines, I really like their time machine.
Mm.
Arrow as well is, I think if anybody knows who Freddie is, they probably then know the Arrow technique.
The Arrow as well. It's probably one of his most well-known pieces of work.
So. Yeah. And that's very effective. And I think, I didn't realise I was doing it, but I created my own protocol called the Comfort Zone Cliff, where I get people on a cliff and I get them to jump off to fly to freedom, mm-hmm. basically. And looking back on it now, it's very similar to the Arrow. So I think I must have modelled that before I realised what I was doing. And so they're my two favourite Jacquelines. And obviously their parts work, they're very big. They always structure sessions around a parts negotiation. But I've also found somebody else called Hazel Gale, and she has written the book, The Mind Monster Solution. And she is a former world champion kickboxer who went into competing in boxing, who then became a cognitive hypnotherapist because she had a breakdown because of the, again, she's that high achieving, striving to improve. It's never enough. Like whenever she'd win, she would always then criticize what she did wrong and worry about not being good enough, even though she'd won. And she went and got hypnotherapy when she had a breakdown. And then she decided to dedicate to that instead of fighting. So I am not unique. When people say you must be the only kickboxing champion and hypnotherapist in the world. No, I am not. Another one exists. But I love her way of doing parts as well. So her mind monsters. So it's very metaphorical. She brings in a lot of play and imagination. And I know now she's creating an app and everything too, especially to help men with men's mental health, because they're more likely to play a game than go and see a therapist. And she basically gets you to sort of visualize what your part is, your monster is, and what its intent. So I like her way of doing that. And I sort of incorporate the two ways now of working with people.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about hypnotherapy is that I don't think people realize that it's an extremely creative occupation. In fact, nowadays, I tend to think that if I'm tired, I don't particularly want to see clients because I want to bring that creativity into the work I do. And when you're tired and you feel like, oh, I feel like I'm just going to be going through the process without adding that kind of
warmth
to it.
I think it's Roy Hunter, I hope I'm not wrong, with the art of hypnotherapy.
Yep,
and his introduction, he says it's equal parts science and art.
Yes.
And that it was reading that made me think, this is why I like it so much. It's just like a martial art, because you think of the very physical, it's physical training. But then once you learn those basic tools, those first tools, which aren't that difficult to learn, I think hypnosis is much easier. If anybody's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, hypnosis is difficult, you can do it in a day. You can learn those tools. You can listen to Freddie's Arrow, his whatever it is, hypnotherapy book, and you can learn that tool easier than it is to get your body to do martial art moves. Then you have to go and practice. That's the bit where people get stuck. You have to go practice that skill. Then you get creative. That's when it becomes fun. And that's when you, so as a martial artist, once you've got that black belt, that's why we say it's the beginning. So we can learn those tools, the skills, practicing them. Then we get to go out there and we get to put our own take on it and come up with ways. And so it's almost like a dance, or it's when you find that state of flow. It's the same thing when you're working with clients and you can get rid of that script and you overcome those nerves and it just flows, because that's what it is. You're having fun, you're being creative.
I have to say, some of my favorite hypnotherapists are ones that have actually studied martial arts and bring martial arts or the ethos, the philosophy behind martial arts into hypnotherapy. And I find that quite fascinating as well. Not that I'm a martial artist, that's clearly obvious. I'll fall over myself at any given time, to be honest. But apart from the Jacquins, and you've mentioned obviously a few people already, people like Roy Hunter, but have there been any other hypnotherapists that have really influenced you and shaped the way that you've worked?
Laurie Hammond, I mentioned her podcast, but I follow her and I've listened to a lot of like her not necessarily for how she does hypnosis, because although she's very good at doing hypnosis, but how she's set up her business and just everything about her as a person. Mm. It's like somebody to model as, wow, because she's not been doing it for years and years. I think she's 3, maybe towards 4 years in now, because when I last heard it was 3. And she was a hairdresser and now she's become a hypnotist. And what she's created and that underlying value of that community and giving. So she, whenever she does her Trancy Tuesday, she's focused around group hypnosis as well. And I love that because, and so many people still believe that hypnosis is a one-to-one thing. And I used the metaphor describing it to a friend the other day. I was like, think of a Zumba class. If you really wanted to perfect your Zumba techniques and you had a real problem, you would go to a one-to-one. But think how fun Zumba is and that connection and that energy when everybody's dancing together and they might be offbeat and it doesn't matter because they're there having their own experience. And he was like, oh, wow, I think maybe really I should give group hypnosis a go now. Because like there isn't a right or wrong. When you go to a hypnotherapist, a hypnotist, and people think, well, how do you help each individual with their confidence? It's like, well, they'll all get what they need from it. It's their mind doing the difference. I'm guiding them into hypnosis. I'm guiding them to make the change. They then get the experience that they benefit from. So, and I love that the way Laurie does that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, raising that, because I think so many hypnotists, when they're learning hypnosis, get caught in this whole notion that they're doing something to someone else. And that can often, I think, hold them back as well. It's like, why can't I get the results that they want? It's like, because you're just creating a space for it to happen. They've got to do the work themselves. And I think that can often be one of the things that hold people back. You've gone through quite a few of the cycles with the Jacquin Academy. Is that right?
I've only done one. I've only done cohort one. I got my diploma in December 2020. And since then, I've sort of been using it. But I am still an active member within the community. And I attended a session the other day with my mum because she's going through it now. Becky Roper, as I mentioned at the beginning.
How is she finding it? Where is she in her study and learning?
She's near the beginning. So the session we did a couple of weeks ago was the introduction to parts work. Mm-hmm. Then she's had another, I think she's about 4 or 5 sessions in. And her biggest struggle was the kind of technology of the whole setting up Zooms and hypno buddies. And because what I also love about the Jacquins, this podcast could just be called the Jacquin Promotion Podcast, couldn't it?
It's a lot of love for the Jacquins, but they're so lovable as well.
Yeah, they deserve it. But they are, and I haven't trained like I know a lot of hypnotherapists struggle. They go from one training to another. Mm. But I got my diploma and I got out there practicing. And I was tempted to go back through because I know that when I go back through, I'll have a much greater understanding and I'll be able to develop my skills even better. But I also know that that would be a form of procrastination. And by going out there and applying those tools, I have become a much more confident therapist. So, yeah, what was the question? My mum, how's she finding it?
Yes.
She's finding it. Yeah, she's really enjoying it. So she's followed my journey and she's been hypnotized by me several times as part of group sessions because I include them. I've run a few. I did them as part of my training and then I've done a few since. I do them as part of my membership occasionally. It's not something I overly focus on, but she's been at any of the group sessions I've done and she's benefited from it. And she was studying counseling at college. But then she decided to come. Well, I think I helped encourage her, but she decided to give it a go. And I'm really looking forward to where she takes it. And I want to help her. So my mission, why do we all do what we do? I was like, is my mum. So where she was addicted to heroin, became an alcoholic. She's now been over a year completely alcohol free. So through the lockdown, she has not missed a single online kickboxing session with me. So she was my first kickboxing student. So 5 years ago, I became the female only kickboxing instructor in the gym. And I rung her up and I was like, mom, will you please come? I'm really nervous. And I've been told I can take over this class, but I don't know anyone. I don't know what to do. I was like, please come. So she did for me. And then International Women's Day 2020, just before we all got locked down, I got invited to speak on stage about kickboxing locally. And I was like, mom, will you come up on stage with me, please? Because I want to share your story because it's more impressive than mine. And I want to tell everybody how you benefit at the age of 55, or I think she was at the time, because she began at 52 and she couldn't even kick above my knee. And now she's going for her purple belt and can kick me in the head. So that's incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah. Good on her. Amazing.
And now she's joining me with the hypnotherapy too. So she's a massive part of why I do everything, because I want to help her have the best life that she can have. And she's going to go on to help other people.
I love how transformed her life sounds from where she has been to imagine the excitement of where it's going for her.
Yes. We need to get her. She's a housekeeper in a hotel at the moment, and it's not the best job. It earns her enough money to live the life that she's living, and she's happy enough. But I know and I believe, I have the confidence that we can transform her life. So that's my why do I get up every day and do everything that I'm doing? And this is why I think I'm going to stop fighting, because my big goal to speak on stages globally, it's the thing that I've been working to. I did daily lives in the lockdowns and I've been on several podcasts. I'm a member of Toastmasters now. I've got my first competition at the end of October. That is terrifying because it's humor and I have had the limiting belief that I'm not funny. Now I'm just practicing. It's gone forever. It's gone. I can be funny if I work on it and I learn how. And so yeah, that's where I want to go. And it fighting takes away from that. I don't need, and I don't want to be the champion. I want to be the coach in people's corner. I want to champion them. So I work with fighters. I actually, this is the beauty of online. I worked with a fighter from Australia. He fought a couple of weeks ago and he contacted me because of the power of networking and connections. And someone in the Jack Quinn Hypnosis Academy met him in the Mike Mandel Academy and contacted us together. And I was like, that's so cool. So anybody listening to this, if you know any fighters that want to work with me, that would be amazing. Because that's kind of, I don't need to fight it, and it takes so much time and energy. And I fought for the British title a few weeks ago and I lost, and I set out to achieve what I wanted to achieve. I got myself back in peak physical condition, mentally and physically. I was the best I've ever been. But the better fighter won, and she deserves it, because that is her sole goal. Is she runs a gym, she's got a degree in sports science, she kickboxes 6 days a week without fail, and her mission is to inspire her son to go out there and do the work and become a champion too. I want to speak on stages globally. So this morning I'm here talking to you instead of being in the gym.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a really good trade-off, but I hope it is in the end. And, you know, I can imagine you traveling the world, spreading this kind of inspiration and wisdom with such ease. So I look forward to seeing what happens there with that. What about for those people that, you know, that are starting their hypnotherapy journey now, like your mum? There are many people who, thanks to people like Anthony and Freddie Jacquin and Mike Mandel and their academies, are having lots of new people discover this thing called hypnosis. What's the advice that you would give them as they begin their journeys now, and how to find their confidence and their authenticity about who they are as a hypnotherapist?
Don't wait for confidence to come. Just like motivation, it comes with taking action. And yes, it will be scary. So just like walking to that ring, you can't remove that fear. You have to overcome that fear. And once you do, that's when you begin to improve. That's when you notice you get results, because you will. you can have practice reframing those negative thoughts. So what if it goes wrong? What if it goes right? Chances are it will go right. But practice with people you know, like, trust. Don't go out there straight away charging high ticket prices, and because that will create unnecessary pressure. But practice. And the more you practice, the more confident you become. So then when you are charging a client, because that's the next big step, you do the practice and you think, okay, I kind of know what I'm doing. And then somebody pays you and you go, oh my God, they've just paid me a load of money. And what if it all goes wrong? Guess what? You've put the practice in so you can be confident. They're no different to the people who didn't pay, except actually they're more invested and they see you as the hypnotist. Otherwise, they wouldn't be paying you. So paying clients actually get better results from my experience. They and do. The more they've paid, as my prices have gone up, the better my results have been. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of psychology there, I guess, in the once they've invested, it actually becomes easier.
You're, so you're take action. Right. And get more at stake when you pay a little bit more.
Yeah. So that my advice basically is if practice, and it is by you can't, there isn't a magic protocol that will make you confident.
No.
You have to then go and do it.
And I think the thing to also understand is that humans are complex at the best of times, aren't they? And so some people are going to be incredible and get amazing results, and some might be more subtle shifts that go on as well. And I think it's about learning to embrace all those different things and to not take it so personally when perhaps there isn't as much of a shift as what you hope there would be.
Yeah. And I think Freddie, I think everybody, that there's feedback in the failures, the ones that there don't is. Go right. But often I think we perceive something as a failure and we make it bigger beyond what it might be. Mm-hmm. So one of my first stop smoking session was with a friend. That's funny, actually. So I'd only done parts with notes, but we went for a walk in the woods and I ended up hypnotizing her in the woods. So I had no script on me and we did it because we were doing something. It was a pre-talk about smoking and I realized and I was like, we're talking about smoking and hypnosis. I was like, well, would you like me to hypnotize you? And this was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But let's give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? And she stopped smoking. And yes, this is amazing. Fantastic. I've succeeded. I'm amazing at hypnosis. Then she went back to smoking a month later. And I was like, oh no, everything I did was wrong. And she was like, no, Jess, you didn't do anything wrong. I stopped smoking for a month. I then went back to smoking. She goes, your hypnotherapy worked. But that was a difficult one to overcome at that point. So I was like, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Trying to criticize everything. It's my first ever stop smoking session. And she stopped smoking for a month.
And I think that it's a really important thing to raise, because inevitably when we're learning hypnosis and we start to work with people, inevitably we are going to have someone that doesn't get the outcome they want. And I think that that can be, unless it's framed in the right way, such a blow for some people and really impact on their confidence. And if they could recognize that it's not necessarily about them, they can reflect on it and think about what perhaps they might have wanted to do differently. But ultimately, if they're providing this space in which someone else can experience hypnosis and they guide them in, they do the best work they can, the only person who's responsible for change is the other person. So, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
If people wanted to reach out to you, how can they do that?
My website, iamfightingfit.co.uk. I was just thinking, what name do I use? Or email me, jess@iamfightingfit.co.uk.
Wonderful. Jess, thank you so much for your time today and joining me on my podcast. You are such a wonderful inspiration for someone who has only been doing hypnosis for 18 months. I think the confidence that you bring to it can leave some people who have been doing it for years to shame. So I really think that you're an absolute credit to not just yourself, but to the Jacqueline Academy as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed our chat today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And no doubt we'll see you all next time. Until then, please take care. Mm-hmm. Thank you for watching the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. I'd like to invite you, if you're on Facebook, to come and find us on the Hypnotherapist Networking Group, particularly if you're a student or even if you're a seasoned hypnotherapist. You'll find a whole lot of information there regarding continued professional development that will help to build your confidence and effectiveness as a hypnotist. Come and join us. I look forward to seeing you there.